and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 269. I'm your host, James Gilmore. Joining me today is Peter Willington.
Hi.
And Harry Slater.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hiya.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for you to be on, Harry.
I know. I'm excited as well.
This is well exciting. If you're a long-term listener, you'll have heard Harry once or twice before, his actual voice, that is, because when we do our like conferences, our Pocket Gamer conference things, we get together and then have an ale or a shandy or something and then record a slightly lackadaisical podcast in a hotel room or pub car park or something. And when that happens, Harry's been on a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's drink involved, then I'll say anything.
and then we always get a load of reviews come through on our iTunes thing, and they just say, oh, get Harry on. He was brilliant. He's better than you two plebs.
Well, actually, the listeners are much more acquainted with you than they realise. Whenever we do our little new releases section, and I'm reading out all the reviews and stuff, and I'm saying, like, according to our reviewer, generally that's you.
Mm, yeah.
You and Mark are sort of the gamer in Pocket Gamer.
Yes.
Whenever their reviews are coming out, you're usually writing them.
Yeah.
So when I'm reading stuff and I pretend to know about things in gaming, your work I'm passing off as my own.
You're stealing my knowledge.
Pretty much, yes.
That's fine. It's, you know, I'm all right with that.
That's good. Well, now you can actually answer for yourself and I have to start playing games.
I don't want to spoil my reviews. I only have one set of things that I can say about games. And that goes in the review, so I'm not. That's why I'm never on the podcast, because I can't think up a second thing.
You'll sit silently and point at your review page.
Yeah.
And say nothing. This is going to be the best radio show ever.
This is going to be amazing. So, Harry, when you're writing a review, what's the one go-to phrase that you like to fall back on?
I like to describe things in terms of food.
Yeah.
Like chunks and slices and...
Yeah. Yeah. Delicious.
And that's actually true.
That is actually true, isn't it? Most people do that because it's all a slice of fun or a solid chunk of content. You know, a sachet of awesome.
The phrase I hate the most is gaming goodness.
Gaming goodness is rough and action. People always tend to use the word something something action, you know?
Yeah, I fall back on that quite a lot, actually. That's mainly because I'm lazy, but yeah, I do fall back on that one a fair amount.
But I scold people when they do. I've got a person who I work with now, and if he says action, I say, no, you've got to say something interesting and transformative. You've got to push the medium forward. Say sachet of awesome.
Sachet of awesome.
That's the way to do it. Brilliant, yeah. So, relatively busy week. Lots of stuff to talk about, and a bundle of new releases, including a bit of controversy as well. But first, an update or two. Warhammer Quest, which is the board game translation thingy that appeared on iOS late last year, I think it was, is currently going free on iPad. We actually thought it was really quite good. Again, when I say we, it was probably you, Harry, wasn't it?
It was me, yeah.
Did you write the words, a fast, fun dungeon crawler that does its inspiration justice?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. I reviewed it for AppSpy as well, and yeah, I enjoyed it. It was quite a nice version of it. There have been a few Warhammer licenses. We've talked about this in the past few podcasts, and we're going to talk about another one today, because they're all over the bloody place, but this came before this huge onslaught of Games Workshop games, and is one of the better ones so far. The most recent one that came out, 40K Storm of Vengeance, was a bit weak sauce, I thought. Who reviewed that?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
What?
Sorry. Yeah,
no. Letting the side down.
Yeah.
Side being you.
Actually, I was going to ask to review it, but then I decided it would be far too depressing, so I didn't bother.
Well, you kind of chose correctly. I had to read the review that came up on both Pocket Gamer and AppSpy, and yeah, it was a bit fair. However, Warhammer Quest was really good fun. It's top-down, grid-based game in which you're advancing guys, turn-based combat, all that stuff. It's very kind of true to its original source material, like you said. So you can grab that for free right now. It should be available for at least the next few days, so do it while you've got the chance. Also, if you happen to be an Android user, The Walking Dead Season 1 has finally landed on Google Play. It's only taken about a year and a half or something.
Season 1?
Yeah, Season 1 has finally appeared.
Come on, Android!
I know, right?
Android phones have only just started making phone calls.
Whoa.
Better late than never, as some people say, annoyingly. It means you can get the entire first season in a block. So if you want to download the first episode, you can do so for free. Give it a try and whatever. And then if you decide you like it, you can buy all the rest of them, plus that bonus episode that went in between the two seasons, 400 Days, I think it was called. You can buy it all as a kind of season pass block, which I reckon will cost you about a tenner or something. They usually do. Alternatively, you do have the option to buy them individually each episode for about sort of £2.99, $4.99, something like that. If you like it, you might as well just buy the block. It does work out much cheaper, frankly. So, yeah, do that. Apart from Peter, who still doesn't like it and hasn't played it.
I don't like
it
either. Because
he's scared. You don't, really, you don't like
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Really? You see, it was a good reason
well,
to get Harry on.
I liked it a bit. Then I got to a bit and there was a pillow and I couldn't smother anyone with it, so I stopped playing.
Really? That's,
yeah.
That was missed off of the tree of, like, the little choice.
Yep. Huh. It was like I was trying to get past some zombies or something. It was like a stealth section, which I don't like anyway.
Mm.
But there was a pillow, and I wanted to get it and try and smother some zombies with it so I could get past them.
Can you smother a zombie?
No, that was
the
problem.
That's a fair point, actually. I think the game has you boxed clever there, because he could have just put it on his face and he would just lied there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but then he'd have been like, oh, maybe it's night. Maybe I should go to sleep now. It would have been fine. I'm sorry, but the internal logic of point and click adventures is hardly renowned for its solidity.
This is true. If you ever try to rub a pencil against a keyring that you find on the floor, the one that really drove me mental was Broken Sword. There's a bit in the first game, certainly in the new version anyway, where you have to, in order to make something, you have to take a bullet casing and then stick it under a door
yeah.
and close the door to smush it.
Yeah, that's redonk.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, the worst one is that cat one that I always like to come back to, where you have to try and make a moustache out of cat hair and sellotape.
In what game?
You have to do that in, I think it's Gabriel Knight. You have to do it to make a fake passport or something like that. You have to do that, and then you have to get your photo taken, and then you have to put it in, a passport. And then it's just like, how am I meant to know this except for rubbing every single thing together in all of the different places on this map?
I didn't find that so much with The Walking Dead, because you're funneled down such a straight line. The choice is mostly about the conversations and the decisions in terms of morality. Or lack thereof, in your case, you zombie-smothering psychopath.
Yeah. They didn't want to smother humans, just the already dead.
Okay.
Not crazy.
Yes. Fair enough. You've got me there. Oh, yeah, you can now download the first episode for free on Android, or go and buy all the rest of them afterwards if you want to. Smother away to your heart's content. Finally, the big update of the week is Clash of Clans. It's just received the Clan Wars update, which means that finally you can actually go head-to-head in real-time combat against other clan types.
Mm.
I haven't played this update. We were going to do it on the live stream, but it didn't come out in time yesterday, the Apps by Twitch live stream. But has anyone actually had a go at this yet?
No.
I figured that might be the case. I suspect, I don't know about you, Harry, Peter's played a bit more of this than me.
Has he played any?
yeah, has, I mean...
You went through a period, didn't you? You had a thing, a brief flirtation with Clash of Clans.
I did. Actually, I'm looking at Clash of Clans right now on my mobile telephone, and I think I left it because I realised that it was taking up too much of my time and that I wasn't committed enough to actually take on any of the sort of big players. But yeah, I got to... I've got a huge town, and I'm level 34, I want to say.
That sounds high. Might not
sounds
be, because I don't really play it. But
I'm in a clan as well.
But previously, all the way that combat has worked in the game is that you kind of put it down, and you go to sleep, and do the washing up or whatever, and then you come back, and then you realise that your base has been ravaged by another person, right? That's how it works. Whereas now, you can actually do it properly in real time. So you all gang up and do like real-time battles on a large-ish scale. And you can do so... I don't think it costs you anything. Like, you don't risk any of your resources. So if you lose, then suddenly you don't lose half your town and city with it or anything.
Hmm.
But if you win, then you get like extra booty, it says, like kind of bonus stuff, items, gear, that sort of thing. You can tell I've played it a lot.
Mm.
You can also get a couple of extra things as well. The update includes level 6 clan castles, the gem box is back, and we've got the list up on the site, and so we'll see a video as well, because I think we'll do a little hands-on with it and see what some of the battles are actually like. But yeah, if you're a Clash of Clans guy, it's on! War has come!
Ooh, it's on.
Yeah. So everyone's played Threes, right?
Yes, it's good. Well, it's all right.
See, I've played it, and I think it's good. Peter's silent.
I don't play puzzle games.
Oh, God. Or horror games or puzzle games?
Puzzle games are too hard. Like, I don't want to think when I'm playing games. And scary games are too scary.
Okay.
Could you imagine a puzzle game that's also a horror game?
Well, most horror games are a bit puzzly.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I also don't play them.
So, Harry, Threes.
Hello.
Oh, hello there. Well, I remember when Threes originally came out, it kind of swept the nation somewhat. Everyone got very excited about it. Game Journo specifically wouldn't shut up about it.
Yes, you could sort of tell from the first time I played it, it was obviously going to be one of those games that the journos went off on one about. It had that feeling about it that you sometimes get from games. And then it did, and I was right.
And you're proved correct. Yeah. And that's the story you'll be telling your kids.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's true. You play it and it's kind of the right level of like intuitive and slick and sort of, it's sort of stylish, minimally stylish in that slightly trendy hipster Shoreditch kind of way. You reviewed it and liked it, I'm right in saying. But
I didn't review it.
Didn't you not?
No,
I thought you were the one
review. I was going to review it, but
then they took you off the gig when they realised you were ambivalent.
I was going to review it and everyone loved it and I didn't love it as much as everyone else. And they all decided I was wrong and Mark reviewed it instead.
I remember the discussions quite well because you were like going, yes, all right.
It's all right, yeah. It is all right, but it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's as great as everyone thinks it is.
Well, you are so cool. Are you wearing sunglasses right now?
I was going to, actually, if it was going to be on video. I've got loads of pairs of sunglasses, and I was just going to swap them.
Out the aviators.
Oh, no, they're like those plastic Ray-Ban ones. Ray-Ban.
Amazing.
I got them for like a pound each from Primark. I'm really cool.
The crap 3D glasses that Odeon give you.
Yeah.
They are the bestest.
Yep.
Well, so we've all kind of agreed vaguely that Threes is at least all right. Well, apparently lots and lots of other developers desperate to make a quick buck agree that it's all right as well. Specifically the guys behind 2048, which has become the most prevalent inverted commas clone, I have to say, the inverted commas to avoid litigation, that has appeared both, I think, I don't know if it's come on iOS, it's definitely on Android. I know it went there first. And lots of others, lots and lots of others, as it turned out. Our editor, Mark Brown, looked into this one and discovered that there are, on average, at least 15 new clones of Threes appearing every day on the App Store under various guises. So you've got lots of different ones titled 2048, which are cloning the clone. So you've got 2048, 2048 hyphen match power, 2048 hyphen the original game. It's totally not the original game, by the way. 2048 tile hyphen fun number puzzle.
Yay!
Yeah, I know, right? It's amazing. So you've got a billion clones of the clone, and then also you've got a bunch of other games that are imitating just Threes outright. And one has even got a picture of the doggies thing on it. It's 2048 doggies version.
Oh, that's good.
That nice. Is both...
people like dogs.
I play that.
Opportunistic and relevant. So it sort of ties back to the Flappy Bird thing that happened, you know, a couple of months ago where it appeared, everyone went mad, either saying it was the best thing ever or complete rubbish, whatever, everyone still downloaded it. And then you got a billion clones. We did another report that's very similar to this one saying there were about like 50 of them appearing every single day.
So you're saying this report is a clone of that report?
Yes, this is a bit where games journalism eats itself like the snake Ouroboros. I bring it up because I always find this stuff depressing. I mean, this is something that comes because of the low barrier of entry to the App Store and this kind of high turnaround, the speed with which you can knock a game out if you happen to have a kind of mobile game creator thing. You can sit down, like Flappy Bird itself, which was knocked up in like in a couple of evenings. If this was a kind of console game or something, the clones tend to come out months, maybe years later. The influences start to show much further down the line. Mm. Whereas in the mobile gaming world, because things move so fast, something's popular one day, and then literally within 48 hours, billions more of these games appear suddenly of people trying to ride on its coattails. People have sort of defended this in the past as that's the way it goes. I've seen people defending 2048 particularly. What's your feeling on this, Harry? Are you like really cynical about it and think that they're all scumbags? Or do you go, well, you know, it's fair enough. They've made a game that people like regardless of where the influences come from, and fair play to them.
I mean, The thing with the App Store as well, as you were saying, it's not even as games come out either, is it? It's like you get games cloned before they've even been released.
Like with Vlambeer and stuff like that.
Stuff, or however you say it, which is, you know, again, but I think it's... I was on a train back from Birmingham for some reason, and there was a woman sat in front of me playing 2048, and I did have the overwhelming urge to just shout at her and tell her she shouldn't be playing that. I was also quite drunk at the time, but I think you get the fair play, you know, you've cloned a successful game and you're making money out of it, but it all just feels a bit scummy. It feels like those cheap toys you get at pound shops that are like He-Man or Transformer bots.
Spider-Fellow.
That you buy for your potential children who don't exist. And they like fall to bits and then your kids die because they ate the plastic or whatever. But it's got...
That is harrowing.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. It's harrowing. The whole clone thing is harrowing.
It's like those crazy consoles you get in Japan which look like a PS1 but are called a Mega Drive Strad and only play games from like the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, yeah. Famicom hacks. They're awesome. Yeah.
They are quite good. I saw one that was knocked up like a toaster.
Oh, amazing.
And you put the cartridges in the top. It was brilliant. But it made crap toast. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Yeah, I feel slightly similarly on this in as much as it just feels icky. Like... Mm. And I find it very difficult when I see people defending it online and going, well, you know, that's the way the marketplace is. And what they're doing with 2048 is providing the product that people want without the barrier of entry, without the price tag on it, because Threes is a premium game. And the developer of Threes themselves, they've spoken out about this and said, like, they are kind of gutted. On the one hand, they're very pleased they've received such critical acclaim for it and widespread love of the game from both, you know, critics and the public alike.
Yeah. I bet that keeps them warm at night.
Yeah, that's the thing. On the other hand, they say that now, like, every time that, like, one of the developers gets on a bus or a train, like you experienced, they see 20 people playing 2048 and one playing Threes because 2048 is free and everyone's downloaded it and assumes it's kind of the original game. They may never have even heard of Threes. And the way he phrased it, said, like, it's kind of heartbreaking to think you've come that close to being a cultural phenomenon. Had he just perhaps made the game free to play, that would be a copy of Threes on all of those phones, you know?
Yeah. Might going to have a little cry.
I feel like I brought everybody down now.
Yeah, cheers.
Shall I offer a counter-argument that I don't fully believe in? Or should we move on?
Well, do you want to play... Bastard's advocate.
I don't mind.
If Keith was here, he'd make an argument for it. Actually, I don't know if he would. I'm not sure. He defends freemium stuff, but I'm not sure he'd defend this. Because it's got a crap logo.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, move on. Move on.
Exactly, straight onto there. Ignore that. Everyone. Anyway, so on to more positive news and things. Warhammer 40k Carnage. This is entry number 568 in the ongoing Warhammer Games Workshop saga on iOS. We recently had like Storm of Vengeance, like we mentioned earlier, which was not great. Played that like a couple of weeks back, last week or something. And we've reviewed it. Actually, Alex, who reviewed it for AppSpy, liked it a lot more than I did.
He's got terrible taste. Isn't it Plants vs. Ultramarines?
Dark Angels.
Oh, Dark Angels, sorry.
Get God, it right. Peter.
It kind of is that. And the game in itself, the guys who created it, it's kind of a reskin of the game that they released before. And they've just, like, drawn Space Marines over the top.
Mm.
And if you're a fan of the original source material, then you're probably not going to like it because it feels incredibly limiting and narrow and shallow. If you like just basic, you know, tower defense games, you might like it. But if you're coming there for a Warhammer experience, then I think you're probably going to be disappointed.
But maybe that's where Alex was coming from on that one. You know, like, I really like the Games Workshop universes, the ones that they sort of, you know, create and expand and all of that extended universe stuff. I like that as a concept, but not a massive strategy fan. So I suppose something a little bit lighter and a little bit more frivolous actually might do well. I suppose maybe that's where Alex was coming from, like, you know...
Possibly. It was a bit dear, though. I still told him he was wrong, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it was cost money, didn't it? Oh, yeah, no, I actually saw it.
It was the one that was like £3 and had in-app purchases in it.
Yeah, no, get bent.
So yeah, nuts to that, exactly. But it was just the first in a big long list, which I think you drew this one up. This one
you did, didn't you?
You did the compendium of Warhammer 40k games.
Yes.
Because there's about like 10 coming out this year. The next one, apparently, on the slate is 40k Carnage. So this one, rather than being a tactical game, is much more action-y. So you are a space marine, naturally, you always are with these games, aren't you? Legging it in a side-scrolly type fashion, carving up lots of orcs and unpleasant things with your various Games Workshop-style weapons, including chainswords and bolt guns and something called a thunder hammer, and I suppose there's some lightning claws in there somewhere, maybe. It's by Roadhouse Interactive, which is a different developer. That's the thing that surprised me about it. And from reading your article, I saw this. It's not like they've handed out the license to a particular developer and gone, right, run with it. You guys are clearly experienced. You know the brand. You know what to do. They've just, like, scattershot, given them to all these different developers, and they're all doing different types of games.
There's this one, and I think Eisenhorn. Zenos. That could be, I don't know, something different. The rest, I mean, Space Hulk's already out, obviously, which could have been amazing, but was just, I don't want to say junk, but I will.
Yeah, you were disappointed by that, weren't you?
Yeah, it was
Isn't it just the board game, though?
No, well, it is just the board game, but it doesn't work, because your Terminator turns round, and there's an animation of your Terminator turning round, and it happens every time, and you're just going, oh, for God's sake, I know what a Terminator turning round looks like.
Oh, I see.
And it's other stuff, and it's a bit fiddly, and it's just... When you're playing against a friend on the board game, it's exciting because you hate the person you're playing against and you want to murder them.
Yeah.
Murder their little men.
Obviously.
But when you're just against AI and it's all taking a while and you have to sit through another routine of gene stealers scurrying towards you, it just never really clicked. And so I wasn't sad. I was, you know...
Just disappointed.
Yeah, that's how it goes, isn't it?
Well, this one looks a little bit more action-packed than that, and certainly won't be limited to Gene Stealers alone. All we've seen so far is clips of orcs and stuff. There's some information up on it on the site right now. I'd like to see some different enemies. I want to see Nurgle. I want to see, you know, stuff from the wider universe.
I was talking with somebody who will remain anonymous, who was telling me that, according to... some higher-ups at Games Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that they prefer a whole bunch of people do stuff with Space Marines is that Space Marines is by far and away their most lucrative license. Like, if you put Space Marines on the front cover of a Warhammer 40,000 rulebook, an additional rulebook, you'll sell, like, twice as much than if you had put on an Eldar or a... I don't know. What else is in there?
Imperial Guard.
An Imperial Guard or something like that. They found that the Space Marines are so iconic that they will sell so much more. So you end up with these games where it's just you're always playing as the Space Marines.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like I would like to play as the Necrons. I would like to play as the Tau or whatever they're called.
There was a Tau game.
Is there?
There's Fire Warrior on. It was a long time ago. Didn't do very well.
No, it didn't.
It wasn't very good.
Because it didn't have any Space Marines in it.
No, it just wasn't very good.
At Space Marine. And then, I don't know how excited I'm going to get about any of these. It just feels like, for such a long time, it was like, oh, there are no good Warhammer games, and now there's like a billion of them, and they're still no good.
My thing is, they've attempted to do a proper actual 40k style game before, haven't they? There has been like a console or PC
Shadow
version.
Of the Horned Rat.
Okay, and that was your proper, actually, let's recreate the game of 40k.
Yes.
On a computer. Was it any good, or did it turn out to be pap? I never played it.
The Horned Rat. There aren't any Horned Rats in... That's normal Warhammer. Not
yeah, that's
40k.
Normal, no. Yeah, it's normal Warhammer. But it's the same game.
It's
like
not,
Warhammer
it's
and
different.
40k. It's pretty much the same game.
You've got guns in different formations, and they have square bases in Warhammer, and you have to keep them together, and it's different.
That is true. Square bases versus circular bases.
That's true, actually.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
I never understood with 40k people who actually played as Imperial Guard.
Yeah,
like,
they were.
Of all the things you have to choose from, I mean, I dabbled a bit mostly to paint stuff, and I chose the Tyranids, who are notoriously like not a great army to have or difficult to win with. But I like the look of them, and I like Alien and stuff and horror, and clearly they're massively influenced by that. It confused me that anyone would choose, I'll be the humans then that look exactly like the humans. Because in a fantasy world where you can literally be almost anything, I'll choose to be exactly what I am now.
And also, in the actual world of Warhammer 40,000, the Imperial Guard are rubbish. Like, yes. They're just walked all over by the Space Marines at every single opportunity.
Well, that's why there are Space Marines on the front cover or anything. I heard that from someone. That's how you make things lucrative. Well, whether this one turns out to be any good or not, we'll have to wait and see. But it's a 40K Carnage. We're expecting it to come out, they say, May, sometime in May. So iOS and Android at some point during that month. So keep your eyes peeled and we'll let you know what it's like. Also coming out in May is Borderlands 2 on the Vita. I think we've wheedled down the Vita owners now to just you, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a Vita, do you, Harry?
I do have a Vita.
You do?
I do.
Oh, you bolstered the number back up again. We found the third Vita owner.
Oh, yeah.
It's you that's buying that other game that they sell every month.
I don't buy games for it. That'd be ridiculous. You get them for free, don't you, off the PS Pluses.
That's true. I mean, Keith only uses his for Twitter and stuff, so because he gets bored with the browser version. Yeah. Right, so Borderlands 2 is actually finally coming to the Vita. They've been banging on about doing a Vita-specific Borderlands game for ages. The first time that it appeared on mobile actually was the bloody Shield. Remember that Android Shield clamshell NVIDIA thing?
Amazing.
And it showed, they very proudly showed themselves streaming Borderlands from a PC onto the Shield and go, look at this, PC, tiny little PC in your hand, provided you're sitting within a meter and a half of your current PC, which means you should just be playing it on the PC, really. And obviously that's why the Shield is such a household name right now. But finally, they have conceded and gone, all right, then Borderlands 2 coming out, what's that, next month, April, May? Yeah, that makes sense. We haven't got an actual EU release date, but we know the US version's coming out on May the 6th. And apparently it will turn up as part of a special hardware.
Yeah, it comes out on May 6th as just part of the bundle, and then you can get it separate on May the 13th, I believe.
I see.
I wrote that.
You wrote those very words.
So if you want to get early access to Borderlands 2, then you'll have to
go back in time to last year.
Yeah.
When it came out everywhere and has been for ages.
Yeah.
Slightly difficult to get super excited about it. I mean, it's a nice thing. If you haven't had a Vita and you like the Borderlands universe, it's kind of cool. Does it allow cross-play and all that crap?
No,
being it's a big multiplayer.
Cross-save, but not cross-play.
I mean, that's the thing about Borderlands. Borderlands, for me, is a purely multiplayer experience. Mm. So on Vita, you can do stuff multiplayer over the net, can't you, over your Wi-Fi?
I think you can do like local and non-local. I can't remember the word for it.
Foreign?
Yeah. You can play with foreigners and people who are in your house, but they could also be foreigners. But
so it covers all bases then?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so you can indulge in the multiplayer stuff, which is how it's really designed to be played. A bit of a shame you can't do cross between PS3 and Vita. That would be the smart money.
Yeah.
But as it is, I mean, yeah, I'd like to play it on it. I bet it'll look good on the old OLED screen, not the new OLED screen, because it's not an OLED screen. It's an LED.
Just a screen.
That bundle that that's coming out on May the 6th is with it's the first release of the new Vita in the US as well. So that's like the first time you can pick up the not as good Vita.
Get hyped, everybody!
I know, right? It's slightly lighter and a bit crapper.
Yeah.
And you can play this old game on it.
I started off this quite positive, this story, but now it's feeling a bit more lackluster than I intended.
This is the thing, right? Like, Borderlands 2, great game. Like, if you haven't played it, and you've got a Vita, and you don't want to play it on anything else, brilliant. Go for it. Go for your life. I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Obviously, we'll have a review. Maybe wait for that before you buy the console version as well. But, like, you know, I'm sure it'll be totally fine.
No, you're right, Screenshots look goodish.
But you're totally right. For people like us, it's like, why are you doing this, guys? Like, how much is this diverting resources away from Borderlands 3?
Borderlands 2.5, you mean. Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Have you seen all this?
Yeah.
What's is there?
It's been, what was it, 2K Australia or something? Some subdivision of 2K have come up with an intermediary chapter that's going to sit between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3, and they've called it the pre-sequel, and it's just like, you know, Borderlands 2.5, basically.
This is a bit of a kick in the balls for Vita owners, because it's like, you're not getting this. You're getting Borderlands 2 a year after everyone
regular
else.
Old,
and we're making a new one. And we obviously know that Borderlands 2 will work. And it's sort of based on the same thing because it's current gen. Like, it's not Xbox One, is it? It's
No, it's gonna...
We obviously know we can make this game work on your console, but you're not having it. You can have the old one. On a crap Vita.
So you tried to make it positive, Peter, but we dragged it right back down.
Still, it's guys, it's fine. If you're looking forward to, you know, if you are looking forward to first person shooters on Vita, then yeah, maybe Borderlands 2 is a little bit disappointing. But at least we've still got Bioshock to look forward to, eh?
Anyway, finally, Hotline Miami 2. The wrong number. There's been talk about this both on PC and on mobile stuff because, again, the Vita got it, the original game, a little bit later than the PC version. If you haven't played it, it's that top-down, ultra-violent, 80s tin shooter thingy, which is really good fun. I only started playing it on PC like a couple of months ago and, yeah, immediately got into it. It's just ridiculously fast.
I don't like it.
You don't... So, is this anything to do with its extreme level of gore and
I just don't think it's very good.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't think it's very much fun. I found it really fiddly to play. Like,
it is at first, because you're using, certainly on PCs anyway, you're using the mouse to control, and I assume the right thumbstick or something on Vita, to like spin the guy around to do aiming and stuff, and then moving with the other side. So it's a little bit fiddly at first, but once you kind of get into it, and the scenarios, they can be over in a split second. That's why I quite like it. It's usually
me dying. Also, the main character from Hotline Miami looks like all of the footballers from Italia 90 on the Mega Drive.
That's true. If they had pig masks on.
Yeah, I could not get it out of my head while I was playing. I just kept going, "Arrah!"
That's probably why you died, man. Because you're giggling at the avatar while goons smash your face in with a baseball bat. Yeah. Well, the sequel is coming, and it is coming, once again, to Vita. Hot Vita news this week, apparently. So it's going to turn up sometime in Q3 2014, which means somewhere around late summer, early autumn. There's a trailer for it up currently on Pocket Gamer, so you can go and have a look at what it looks like. It looks an awful lot like the first one, I'll be honest. Only, in the trailer, there's some bits of it which show two people, two gangster mask-wearing types, running around simultaneously. Yeah, so possibility of a two-player co-op thing going on, which they haven't actually spoken about, but in the trailer looks like that's what it is. It could be an AI partner, or it could be someone actually getting in there in a two-player capacity. Either way, I'm quite excited because I think that's sort of cool. I'll wind up playing it probably on PC, but the fact is it will be coming to Vita, and hopefully this time it might be more of a simultaneous release, so you might not get left behind Borderlands 2, cough cough. Yeah, so look forward to that sometime later on this year. Hotline Miami 2, wrong number. Out and about this week, Trials Frontier has finally landed on the App Store worldwide. It was out in soft launch for a while, I think in Canada and other locations, but it's finally gone global, and you can all download it right now for free, no less. It is the first time Trials has ever appeared on the App Store. We've had lots of pretenders up until this point, and other games influenced by it, even Moto Heroes, which was made by Ubisoft and Red Lynx, but featured a 4x4 racer instead of an actual dirt bike sort of thingy. But none of them could properly fill the void, so here we have Trials Frontier. It is quite good fun to play in terms of the physics and whatnot. I was playing it on the stream yesterday with you, Peter. And have you done the review, Harry?
I have done the review.
You totes have. Okay, so there's been some faff about this online, I've noticed. We've had some very, very, very bad reviews from some publications kicking out. What was your feeling, first of all?
I liked it. I think it's not as sharp as the other Trials games. It's not as doesn't make me as angry. I can the first Trials when it came out on 360. I remember I was sitting in a house I hated, playing it, and just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. But in that sort of delicious way that video games make you angry, and then you do it, and it's like, yeah, I did it. I'm the best video gamist ever, and it's only level 6 or whatever. But this one's a lot simpler. It's a lot. It's the same sort of balancey, thrusting yourself around on a motorbike thing. But no, I liked it. I think I can understand why people are maybe a bit upset about it going free to play, but the time I spent with it never really came up. My fuel always got refilled when I needed it. I think if you want a challenge on leaderboards and stuff, then you probably are going to be spending cash to get to the top of them, which is a bit icky.
Yeah.
But I think it's a solid, entertaining game. If you're looking for actual trials, then I don't think it was ever going to be that. I don't think that would ever really work with the imprecisity of of iOS controls. It was never going to quite work. But this is, I think, yeah, I like it. It's good.
I'm inclined to agree. I haven't spent as much time with it as you. Certainly, I played the pre-launch release, the soft launch, and I've played a bit of this final polished version. And yeah, certainly I haven't come against many paywalls yet. I haven't been cut out. That's good. And I think you're right in as much as it was never going to be that thing. We have had some very, very negative reviews online, people saying the free-to-play structure has completely destroyed it. What I'd say to that is, I get the impression that the people who have reviewed it that way are perhaps not as familiar with the free-to-play model as we are.
Maybe not mobile websites?
Yeah, no, I don't want to say that, because I'm sure these people play loads of mobile games as well.
Do you think?
Yeah, well, they're gamers, and gamers play games, regardless of the platform. Proper gamers do, anyway.
Proper gamers.
Well, you know, we're not like people who
proper gamers play games on anything. they throw stones in the mud and get achievement points for it.
You've been peering over my garden fence, haven't you? Well, no, as in they're not snobs about any particular platform. It's like, I play games on PC and I'll play them on the Xbox, I play them on my phone, whatever. If it's a game and it's good, I'll play it, you know? That's the way I think about things. But I get the impression that people who aren't perhaps as familiar with the free-to-play genre as we are, as in we have to play free-to-play games every day, and you do see the full spectrum of games that are absolutely atrocious and use the model in a terrible, terrible, cynical way, and games that are like, yeah, all right, I mean, it's still free-to-play, but they're not being, like, ridiculously, maniacally evil about it.
I think in some ways, they're actually quite nice about it. I mean, the fuel system is sort of an energy system. But in trials, if you retry from within a play, you know, you skip back to the last checkpoint or skip back to the beginning, it doesn't cost you any fuel. Whereas a lot of games, if you retry from within, it takes that fuel off again.
Absolutely. And I remember with, what was it? Where's My Water 2?
Yeah.
When that first came out, if you repeated the level, it cost you. And so you could get stuck on one level and play it, like, restart it sort of 8-9 times. And you'll do that because it's a matter of seconds. And within 50 seconds or something, it locks you out.
Yeah.
And it says, jog on. And that was just preposterous. They've since removed the entire energy system from that game because it was so ridiculous. But like you say, the free-to-play system can be used and leveraged in both ridiculously cynical and kind of okay sort of ways. And I think this is in the more comfortable area, it feels to me. I mean, there was a part of me that would still like it to be premium and just play it and not be locked out at all. But, you know, I've seen a lot worse than this. You can find out for yourself. Like I say, download it right now for free. It's iPhone and iPad, so get involved. Trials Frontier, it's called. The other big free-to-play release this week that's caused some level of controversy is Family Guy, The Quest for Stuff. This came out today, but it also came out on Tuesday. Because someone pressed the wrong button.
So really, if somebody pressed a button to make it go live on the iTunes store, and if the higher-ups at Fox thought to themselves, oh, that's not good, that shouldn't have happened, who should be punished in this situation? Should it be the person who pressed the button? No. It should be the people who play the game and want to share the game with their friends, shouldn't it?
So if you weren't following all of it, it appeared on Tuesday. People assumed it had been launched early as a soft launch or something like that, and then thought, fantastic. And they took to YouTube and they took to Twitch and all the streaming video sharey sites to play the game and show it to their mates and say, look, isn't it cool? What then followed was some quite quick, harsh condemnation from Fox, who then started flagging the YouTube videos and shutting down people's Twitch accounts. I'm going to say allegedly here, because they showed it and then the accounts went down and people got actual, like, letters from Fox. So I think there is physical proof up online somewhere. But just in case Fox are listening, I have to say allegedly. But that pretty much does seem to be what happened. Which seemed a bit of an overreaction there. From old Foxy. So we wanted to do a video about it, and I did one. And I think now the dislikes are going to climb on that video because now the game's out, people are going to assume it's a real preview hands-on video with exclusive footage, and then go, what's this nonsense? Whereas originally...
It looks quite almost like the game anyway.
It is quite convincing.
I think your version has more interactivity.
I looked at it. I genuinely did it. I tweeted smugly today, but as part of a joke, that like I didn't look at any of the preview footage or anything that had gone up deliberately, and I just drew what I imagined it would be. Because what I'd heard is it's basically The Simpsons Tapped Out, but Family Guy.
Yeah. It's exactly that.
And so I drew it like this silly, crude hand draw version. You can see in the video on AppSpy. And then like it came out today, and I looked at a screenshot, and I was like, nailed it. It's practically identical, embarrassingly identical to that silly scrawl that I did. So yeah, it looks like The Simpsons Tapped Out. I've played like 10 seconds of it. Harry, you've played a little bit more than me.
Yeah, I've played probably about 15 minutes of it, yeah. It's awful. It is just one of the most unpleasant experiences I have ever had. You know, the thing that, if you're a fan of Family Guy, the thing it does well is that it walks that line between actual offensive and comedy offensive.
Sure.
Yeah. That it, and sometimes it crosses it and it's just icky, and sometimes it gets it bang on. This is just not funny at all, in the slightest. There's a short clip at the start which is like lifted from a Family Guy episode, which sets the scene, and then there's a fight with a stupid chicken, and for some reason Quahog gets destroyed, and then it is just The Simpsons Tapped Out. The dialogue that the characters, they don't say it, it's written down in their speech, is just abysmal. It could just be any character from anything, just like a man saying these things. So when they do the near the knuckle racism bits, it's just flat out racism. It's just like, this game is now being racist.
Brilliant.
One of the first things that happens is, for some reason, Chris doesn't have any trousers, and
I saw that bit.
Weed himself,
right?
And then you have to get trousers. And then you just get the trousers from somewhere, and then you give him the trousers, and he's happy.
Well, this sounds like a very good video game.
But the only mechanic is tapping on things.
I hadn't played much of Simpsons Tapped Out, and originally when I did this spoof video, I was going to just play Simpsons Tapped Out and narrate it as if it was Family Guy. That was the original plan. So I started playing Simpsons Tapped Out, and it's just a tapping sim. It's so weird to be like, I could hit anywhere on the screen, just I could not look at the screen and just, you know, tap every 2 seconds, and I could play this game.
Yeah.
Like, and I could get points and do stuff without any involvement or actual interaction on my part.
To play devil's advocate with Simpsons Tapped Out, the reason that that game works really well is that it's not for people who play games, it's for people who like The Simpsons, and it's so lovingly put together.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree there. I thought it was hatefully put together.
I didn't find it funny.
It was just, well, maybe it's later Simpsons then.
Yeah.
Post-season 8.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I think it's for the Simpsons crowd and for people who, it's enough for a video game to go, it's Homer! And then Homer appear and him say Doe. And then people go, ha 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 ha. But this Family Guy one just sounds like it's... It doesn't even have that. Doesn't even stay true to...
I reckon it will appeal to those same people, though. Like, the people who like Simpsons Tapped Out. Because I looked at it, and it's like the production values are high, in as much as, you know, all the likenesses are spot on and everything. You've got Family Guy sounding music, you know, that sort of swing band stuff going away in the background. You've got all the characters doing daft stuff and some borderline racism. Like, if people enjoyed what The Simpsons Tapped Out did with The Simpsons license, I reckon they'll enjoy this too.
But I think you have to like Family Guy. I don't think those people want that mechanic again. I don't think people are a fan of Tap Sim. I think they're a fan of The Simpsons, and Tapped Out happens to be a game with The Simpsons in it.
But like, if you're a fan of Family Guy, you don't think that will appeal to a large group of people who also enjoy Family Guy and just want to tap their
way through? It depends how faithfully they stick to the actual Family Guy thing. It sounds to me like they don't nail it whatsoever. And a big part of Family Guy is the delivery of those lines. Like, a big part of the jokes, those sort of close to the knuckle jokes, it's their delivery. The words are hateful, but the delivery is sometimes funny. But if the delivery is text on a screen, then that's just flat out saying racist things.
Yes. Timing's the other thing, and that can't be overlooked. And I think that's one of the reasons why getting comedy across in games is so damn hard, because pace is controlled at the rate at which the player decides to move on. So you can't manage what would be a joke, a setup, and a punchline payoff in terms of like the right amount of pause between each thing, unless it's just scripted and you sit back and watch. If it's just according to when the player clicks the thing, it's really difficult to get anything that's funny. The South Park game is pretty good at that, which I've been playing through and enjoying. It's not like, it's certainly funnier than most games. It's not, I wouldn't say it's roll on the floor hilarious. I just like being in the world. It was kind of really fun because it looks so much like an episode, exactly like an episode. It's kind of novel. It has that thing. This doesn't look like an episode, obviously, because you're viewing it from that isometric view, the same as The Simpsons Tapped Out and everything, and the characters look right. But apart from that, it bears no real relation to the series. And if the jokes are falling flat, like you say, Harry, then eh. However, it's still a massive thing, and I reckon bundles of people will download it, which they can do right now for free if they really must. So, yeah, crack on with that. Also out, this caught me slightly by surprise, Roller Coaster Tycoon 4 Mobile. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I know, right? We usually get a bit of a heads up on this stuff, but this suddenly went bam and appeared. It's on iPhone and iPad right now. Now, it's a premium game, right? It's £1.99 or $2.99, but it also has in-app purchases and wait timers.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, like, one thing or the other, lads. This is always the problem with these games. You can have your wait timers and all that stuff, but that's fine. It's a free-to-play game. Or you can have it premium and let me get about my own business in my own time. You can't have both. That's bang out of order.
It's like buying a cake. And you go, oh, here you go, here's £2 for this cake. And they go, oh, brilliant, here you go. Oh, but you can't eat it now. You can have a slice, and we'll tell you when you can have the next slice.
Whereas you just want to wolf it down in one go, do you?
I've bought my Belgian bun, and I've paid my own money.
I'll do what the bloody hell I want with it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. So they have released it. I don't know even, is this a port? Like, because Roller Coaster Tycoon's an old franchise, right?
Yes. If they're up to four, then yeah.
It's an old port of an old game?
I think it's new. Like a made for a mobile thing with the supervision possibly of the man who did it
first.
John Roller Coaster, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, that guy. So as you'd imagine, it's a roller coaster sim game in which you have to build and create your own theme parks with roller coasters. So you're buying special elements and you're like building a roller coaster and saying, I want a loop here and I want a bendy bit there, and that'll cost 1500 gold coins, and so I have to get that. And then it builds, and it takes a while to build, and you know, while you're doing that, I assume people are wandering up in a theme park styly and riding the ride and earning you money and all of that. So it's a management, resource management sort of thingy. Mark's played a bit of it. He started playing, and there's a video up on Pocket Gaming. You can see him going through the first 15 minutes or so. He has reservations because of the in-app purchases in a premium game. It looks very much like it should. If you've ever played Theme Park back in the day, then yep, looks quite a lot like that, really. But stick with us for the review on this one, because it would be horrible to waste your money on it and then discover you get shut out within an hour of playing.
Yeah, and also, who wants to waste like money paying for games when this inevitably goes free in 2 weeks?
That's happening more and more, depressingly, isn't it? We've had quite a lot of instances recently where games appear and then 2 days later they get a price drop. Which is just a massive middle finger to early adopters.
To the fans who have been waiting for this.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, if you're a huge fan of roller coaster type things, obviously you'll be all over it already. But if not, Roller Coaster Tycoon 4, maybe hang on a couple of days for the review and we'll tell you what it's like. What should be good, though, is The Wolf Among Us. The third episode has just appeared. If you've already got the app, you can download it via an in-app purchase. It's called A Crooked Mile and carries on the story of Big Beowulf and the other fables who are roaming around the city trying to solve murderings and whatnot. Peter and I have been playing through this on Twitch, starting with the first episode. We're kind of working our way through it week by week as the story unfolds, and I'm quite enjoying it. Like, I enjoyed the first episode when I played it through the first time. I like the universe. I like the colour palette shift from things like The Walking Dead, which was very grey and drab and, you know, ooh, everything's depressing. I like the idea of the sweary fairy tale, where you've got them all done up in human garb, but underneath they're actually these gigantic, you know, monstrous creatures. And I quite like the film noirish tone. It was kind of quite jolly. Early rumblings about this episode are really positive. Like, the second one took a bit of a dip, I think some people reckoned. But this one, I've heard nothing but good, really good things. So chances are, if you've already played the first two, you're going to get this anyway. You can get it as a season pass, like with The Walking Dead. Drop a tenner or something and get all the episodes. Or buy them individually for about £3 or five bucks, something like that. So, yeah, you can get on that right now, if you will. Quickly, we'll just run over these last two. Instantion? Is that what, yeah?
Me and Mark are having this conversation. It's one of those games that you're going to type the name and you're going to get it wrong every time. Because you can't, it doesn't work. It's not, it's awful. It's like Kinect. You always spell that wrong because you want to write kinetic or you want to write connect. You can't write yes, both.
With horrible spelling. So it's instant with a shin on the end. So instantion, I'm going to pronounce it like that. Why not? It's very similar to the Swapper, which was a game that appeared on PCs, I think, in which you take control of a character. It's a side-scrolling platforming affair, but what you can do is duplicate your character via kind of an Angry Birds-style shooting arc. So you direct a little reticle around the screen, and if it's within your like line of sight or line of fire, you can press the button, tap the screen, and another version of you will appear, blip, on a different platform. Then, as you start to move backwards and forwards, your doppelganger will mirror exactly your own movements. What this allows you to do is fire a person up to an upper platform where there might be, I don't know, a pressure sensor or something. You can then move forward, your doppelganger will stand on the pressure sensor, a door will open underneath, you can then walk through it, and then call your doppelganger back into your body. So it's a bit like weird astral projection kind of the game. This one is done in a, like, I don't know, Tronish Resi style, where it's all transparent neon stuff in a kind of virtual environment. Mark played it. It's a video up on the site. Looks okay. The visuals aren't amazing. It looks all right. The idea is quite novel, and would be more novel if it wasn't also seen in another game. 50 levels, apparently, and handful of puzzles on each one. So, yeah, you get about 120 puzzles based within those 50 levels. It's £1.49 or $1.99. That is Instantion. Finally, I played this on the stream last night and thought it was kind of fun. Robots Love Ice Cream, which is a statement I'm sure we can all agree with. Exactly. Did you play this one, Harry?
I have not played this one, no.
It is there's a planet in the middle of the screen. You're trundling along the top of it, so the ice cream van that you're controlling stays central. And as you drive left and right, it's almost as if the planet rotates, a trick of the camera. And above you are flying alien creatures who are trying to attack you and your ice cream headquarters, I suppose it's called. So you have to shoot them down in a very, like, Space Invaders Galaga style. And then run back to the base every so often to defend it, because big ships will come over and try and blast away your HQ and it will remove your ice cream powers. It's kind of a ludicrous, silly setup. However, it does look really good. Visually, it's incredibly slick, like surprisingly impressive sort of for what it is, a silly little arcade game, presented really, really well. I played it for like 10-15 minutes and I was having quite a good time. It's not exactly blowing the doors off the originality barn.
Neither was that metaphor, really.
That metaphor got away from me, didn't it? Yeah. But, like I say, it is incredibly slick. You can see a video of it, like a trailer up on Pocket Gamer. You can also see us playing it on our Twitch stream. If you head over to the Axe by Twitch channel, we're playing it there as well. It was surprisingly good fun. And at the moment, you can get it for 69p or 99 cents, after which it'll go up to £1.99 or $2.99 afterwards. So check out the video. If you like the look, grab it while it's cheap.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Hello and welcome once again back into the chamber wherein lies the throne of games. We have a newcomer this week, which means you have to undergo the trials. I know, right? It's not much of a trial. You just have to sort of sit on the chair, really. The throne, rather.
Okay, can I bring you a cushion?
No, because I've heard what you do with cushions and pillows and that, and I don't trust you. I want to just get out of this room alive, frankly. Right. So we'll get you to hop up on the throne and you can tell us what you have been playing this week.
Hop. I have been... I'm painting an image with my words.
This is why you get the big writer's bucks.
Yeah. I've been playing a game called Groundskeeper 2. Yes. Which is Orange Pixel Games. I think the first game was made in a game jam in the past, and was possibly out on those personal computers that you can't fit in your pocket. It's like a side-scrolling shooter. You're on the same screen all the time, and you're a lady with a large gun. It's pixel art, big chunky retro looking sort of 16-bit bright colors. Mm-hmm. These sort of aliens drop in from everywhere and you just shoot them. So it's quite original.
I can tell.
It reminds me of Ziggurat. So you've got that wave-based running around, except in that you aren't running around. But it's quite difficult, and you sort of get more powerful as you play through the game. So you get shields and bigger guns, and you sort of warp between levels on platforms when you've collected enough bits of robot, alien, supernatural monsters that have been dropped. And it's just really fun. I really like games that I could have played in the arcade when I was sort of 12. Mm. And this has got that feeling to it. It's very quick fire, shooty, and it's real fun. It's a fun game.
Am I right in thinking that Orange Pixel are kind of known for doing this sort of thing?
Yes.
They're a bit like Ravenous Games in that regard, as they churn out sort of similar-ish styled arcade shootery things with a pixel art style.
Yeah, I think they did a roguelike recently as well, or something more fantasy-y. But they're very good at it, I think, is the thing. They're sort of very polished. They've got it down to a T now. You can just pick them up and play, and you know they're going to work really well. And it's fast and frantic. And
they get away with a lot because of that, I think. Like Ravenous Games especially, they released games like a fair old knock. And to be honest, they're quite similar to one another very often. But because they've nailed the platforming thing as well as they have, you kind of go, it's the sort of the same thing or a variation along a theme, but they do it really well and it's always really quite good fun. So you kind of go, all right, then I'll let you have that. That's pretty good. And I played an Orange Pixel game a while back for review and I found myself really enjoying it. It was in like an 80s action movie pastiche.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Where you're bundling from screen to screen, but it was a very simple, like left, right, A, B, you know, jump, shoot, that's it. So nothing you hadn't seen before, but it was done in a really satisfying way. And I was like, I was got quite hooked quite quickly. So you can sort of recommend this one.
Yes, I think I'm reviewing it, obviously. But yeah, it's definitely worth a look.
What's the name again?
Groundskeeper 2. It's a terrible
Groundskeeper
name.
Groundskeeper 2. And is it a premium thing? Do you know?
I think it's premium. Somewhere it's money. Some money, maybe.
Some monies. Yeah. Fantastic. All right, then. Keep your eye out for that, then. Good inauguration there. You can stay in the throne-sitting gang.
Thanks.
I know. I thought you'd be chuffed.
You're going to tell me, ma'am.
Skype her right now. Okay, so I've been playing Crazy Taxi City Rush. We would have talked about it in the new releases section, only it's not technically a new release because it's only out in Canada, one of them soft launch thingies. And it's already kicked up a little bit of fuss in a similar vein to Trials, because it is not the game that you might think it is going to be. So they already released a port of the original Dreamcast and arcade version of Crazy Taxi, like early this year, something like that. So there is a version you can play of kind of the original game in which you're bombing around the town and picking up fares and doing it all in a much more, you know, driving sim sort of way. This game, however, was developed by the guys behind Sonic Dash, and as a result, shares quite a lot in common with that game, i.e. it's kind of not an endless runner, but an auto runner in which you switch lanes by flicking left and right. Short missions, grab a few people, guide the car to the next thing, then the mission stops and that's it. You then get brought back to a home screen in which you have to upgrade your car, try and buy new vehicles, up your speed, your engine, your cornering abilities, all that sort of thing. You can take on single individual missions or you can follow through like a campaign. I've played it for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and I've already come up against a few issues because this one is free to play, like the Frontiers game. And unlike the Frontiers game, I have already come up against stuff where it's been like, you can't play this because you're clearly not a high enough level. You need to go back and start grinding more, which is always a bit like, when it's that stuff in the free-to-play games where you start to think, right, now is this being made artificially difficult to encourage me to spend money that I don't really want to spend or isn't going to prove valuable at the end of the day? It's presented fine. It looks fun and upbeat. It's not got that awesome licensed soundtrack that you got with the original game. It's just a more generic soft rock sort of thing. And it handles okay as well. Like, it's more complicated than your Sonic Dash or something, or your Temple Run, because you're flicking left and right to switch lanes to avoid traffic. If you come up to a corner, you have to turn around. You have to hold one side of the screen, and you'll do kind of a handbrake turn and then shoot off in the new direction. When you reach the destination for your taxi fare, you have to repeatedly tap the screen in order to brake. And if you overshoot it, then you'll miss that fare and carry on. And you're obviously under lots of time pressure, just like with the original game, to go through and you know, reach certain areas within a time limit or it's game over. And a lot of that will have to do with how powerful your car is. So you're managing quite a lot of things. It's much more involved than Sonic Dash. But there is still that underlying freemium thing that makes you think, like, oh, if I just bought this extra bit, then I might have completed that. And can I complete this without buying it? Or am I going to grind 20 hours and still not be able to afford the component I need? It's that kind of uncertainty within the game where you're like, I don't know if I'm being fleeced or not, you know? So I'm unsure about it at the moment. I'll say it's not awful. Like, playing it is quite good fun, but I'm not entirely sure whether they've got the balance right with the free-to-play stuff. However, it's only a soft launch game, so they've got plenty of time to tidy it up between now and the official launch. Whether they will or not is another matter entirely. But if you're in Canada, you can download it right now. Crazy Taxi City Rush, it's called. So go and have a look and form your own opinion. Which leaves us with Peter, for a change.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit of a Debbie Downer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you're always so positive, Peter. Powered by various caffeine-based beverages.
I know, it's true. And I'm going to be a bit of a negative Nigel about the Vita again on this episode.
Saying adjective name, you're freaking me out.
I'm going to be a Percival Poopy Pants.
Okay.
I was playing, and I've reviewed, a game called Ethan, Meteor Hunter, right, by a company called Seven Studio. It's an indie game studio, and they've made this Vita game. It's a Vita platformer.
Mm-hmm.
Puzzle platformer, really. And it reminds me a lot of Little Big Planet. Thumbs up. But The community levels, thumbs down.
Democracy is a horrible thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrid. To paint a picture, you play as Ethan, a mouse who is on an adventure, and he is trying to catch lots of little fragments of meteorite, which are glowing green. And
Peter, this sounds magical.
It does, doesn't it? And he's got the ability to pause time, and when time is paused, he can move objects within a very limited field around his environment. So, for example, there's a wooden box, mm-hmm. and it's at the top of a ledge, and you can't reach the ledge, so you grab the wooden box, you bring it down, and then you unfreeze time, and you can jump on top of the box, and then jump to the ledge, and continue along your path.
Okay.
Standard sort of idea.
Yep.
So, what's wrong with it is, first of all, the controls are exceptionally sluggish. It's not that there's a delay between the input of what you're doing and the action of your character on screen. Sorry, I shouldn't use the word action. And the movement of your character on screen.
That's the correct use of action. It's okay, you can do that.
Okay, fine. He's actually quite heavy. So you say, go on, move forward. And he does, but it takes him a little bit of time to get going. And so it feels a little bit sluggish and slow in that way, but also it feels really tricky to counter when you overjump, which, I feel is like a thing that everybody does in platformers. Like, you always overjump and you always try and compensate for jumping too far. But in this, it's much harder. So it makes the platforming a little bit tricky, and the platforming does get quite tough in and of itself. But the really annoying thing about it, and the reason that I say that it's a lot like the community levels, or perhaps the bad community levels of Little Big Planet, is those levels, and these levels in this game, feel like they don't take into account the fact that the player isn't intimately familiar with A, the game engine, and B, level structure that you've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be bits where the game asks you to keep running and like jump and grab all of these icons and that sort of thing so that you can use your pause ability.
Right.
And then you'll keep running and you'll get to the end and you'll be like, oh, and then you'll die because some spiky rolling thing has just hit you from behind. And then what you were meant to do is pause the game at a very specific point so that you could then move these objects about and that would somehow stop this spiky thing coming after you. And there's no real indication that that's a thing that you should be doing. You get these pickups and stuff, and they are fairly rare. But there can be huge gaps between when you collect them and when you should be using them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have to kind of profile the developer and profile the engine and the game so that you can make progress. Another really good example is you'll be trapped in this little room, and what you need to do is move all of these wooden blocks about so that you can get to the top of this ledge, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of that. And you'll be doing it, and you'll just think to yourself, how am I not getting this right? I've spent 10 minutes doing this. And what you should have done is jumped in a very specific position, and if you manage to pause it at just exactly the right time, then you can complete the level. But if you don't, you're boned.
So you're thinking it's making unreasonable demands on you in terms of like finding the specific solution that you need to get.
Like, I don't mind games being hard, but it feels unfair. And right. when you start adding in these sections whereby suddenly the platforming gets very, very difficult, or these projectiles are coming after you, now you're adding skill to the equation with these slightly dodgy controls.
Mm.
So not only, you'll end up with these sequences where you'll do this really incredibly hardcore platforming, and you'll get to the end and you'll think, I don't know what to do now, and die. And then you'll have to do it again successfully, and then figure out that, oh, you should have pressed pause at this specific time. And it's just, it constantly just means that you have to be thinking about, right, if I was the person making the game, where would I put this?
Mm.
And it's not a lot of fun, and it does feel like it's kind of held together with string and chewing gum at times.
Oh, dear.
It looks a bit ropey. So, yes, it's a bit of a disappointment, really. Probably not one to spend money on. Maybe a sort of, like, download it when it's inevitably on PS Plus.
Okay, what's it called?
Ethan, Meteor Hunter.
Right. Don't know how much it costs, do you?
It's like...
too much.
Too much money?
I had a feeling you might say that.
It's currently 10... I mean, so it's a multi-platform release. It's currently $10 on Steam. I can't imagine it being much more on Vita.
Okay, fair enough then. One to perhaps avoid? You're writing the review though, right?
It's up. It's live. It's on pocketgamer.co.uk.
How's about that? We'll go and check it out. And all of the reviews for all the games we talked about today, because chances are Harry's reviewed
Harry's
them all.
Harry's written it, yeah.
Yeah.
I get paid per click.
So go and feed his non-existent children. So that pretty much wraps it up. How did that go for you, Harry? How are you feeling?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I like you guys. You're my friends.
That is the most positive thing. Keith would have just made a cock joke and said we were all rubbish. So we're already one step closer to kicking him out of the cast. Don't tell him. You won't even know because he never listens to any of this because he doesn't really.
We could just badmouth him now for the next like 10 minutes. We can just.
Oh, good. His hair. Oh, ridiculous. Oh, ridiculous. Oh,
he's got a really
lank
nice face.
And lifeless. That's what I say.
I like him. He's a nice man.
He's got.
And he smells lovely.
Okay. You're playing devil's advocate again there, aren't you?
I am.
So, come and join us again for more of this sort of stuff. We'll get Keith back and we'll get Harry in and we'll have a great big love in sometime next week, perhaps. We shall see what happens. Thanks for joining us, guys. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.